아래 당도 주변에 가서 시발에 남나 당한지 지기 코발이야 친구여래 해서 시간도 이사다 아는도 대사디 가와디여래서네 안에 감숨 되어봐다 수다 숨에 감세 감숨 나네 되어래서 안에 기디네 안에 가브리엘 살게 가브리엘 밀리티 가브리엘 앙아손의 계시 두신의 고라콜 되어디 가르쳐버래서네 내다 뉴모바 이게 제발이에요. 제자다 내다 뉴모바 이디 응은 베네가도 디르와 제지가나나 심제로 신의 자르 고르셔바는 곧 디나로 되면 진짜 저서요 말와 자르 고르셔와 자그리 펜스 라지로다 어디나시 내다 뉴모바 이기 바 지기데 샨다레 딜레 탈고 말레스 제자다 디 칭지에서 뉴모바 딜레 칭지 뉴모바 딜레 칭지들이에요. 제자 다 딜레 파 드레제 딜레 타와이나 다지 먼저 타르바샤 디레스 지자 레다 뉴모바이 뻥바이나 레다 뉴모고 랑와메 베게 컴스노 제와딜레 타르고레스 디 타르바이나 디 타르바레스 지자 다디니게 타르바디 레다 뉴모 온게 아니 제와딜레 타르비 타르바디 디 토구두 셈베다 디 마톰 탐미누 셈베 섬르타이디 디 군와디다 타르바도 유로레스 지간도다 쇼게 두신 타르바도 유로디 두신네 증거 제시가 디르와
Good afternoon. So this morning, we looked at the current situation of ourselves and all other samsaric beings, which is that life after life, we take rebirth in one of the four methods, in one of the three realms. Sometimes falling to the lower realms, experiencing intense suffering for measurable periods. Other times, in the relative peace, happiness of the higher realms. But the recognition to come to is this process of being trapped within this a circular rotation of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. This prison of samsara, this position of no freedom. Where, and an analogy that one can call to mind is if you think of an animal in a zoo, in an enclosure that's quite small, especially if it's a large animal in a small enclosure, you'll see it pacing up and down, up and down, up and down, trapped, unable to gain freedom. So this is similar to the position we are in. We are bound in this prison of cyclic existence, in this wheel of samsara, held in place by these chains or these binds, which are our afflictions. And destroying these afflictions, then, is how we gain liberation, freedom from cyclic existence. And what we looked at it this morning is that this is the mind yearning for liberation. This is what, or the mind striving for liberation. This is what we need to develop.
나디네게 당한테 타르바디 되니게 삼로디 깨리야 탑람 삼다나데 그런 땅 고르세된 타르바기에 탑세되는 마슈야레 지나다 베로지 담보 베르 송도 베나스 곰비 둥아 시와라 톱디 중화데 시와라 톱디 중화데 어느 곰비 둥아라 미르벌 통화라 라레바 신도스 베리제
So this morning, we looked at what the mind striving for liberation is, and hopefully came to understand that. Now we look at, so how to cultivate such a mind, the method for cultivating such a mind. Yeah, Lama Tsongkhapa starts with an illustration. So in the middle of page 154, developing the wish to pacify the suffering of thirst, for instance, depends on seeing the torment of thirst as undesirable.
지난 돈다 지나 세우지 시야에 하고야 지에 지난 돈다랑 아주 카콤지에 강아 체연지 공공비기다 카콤니 공부디 시에기 세야 나지 세우도 세베 세 시워디 톱비기 개발라 지난 카콤바 카콤니 강아 체바디 하고 오래스 지난 카콤비기 강아 체바 하고는 오다지 강아디 세고도 세비기다 네 네 추 돈도 예비기 세야기 돈도 예중고리에스 제자디
So So the illustration, I think, is very clear, that it's through seeing thirst as undesirable that we will seek something to drink. If we do not see being thirsty as undesirable, we will not seek something to drink. It really comes down to this. If we know there is a problem, we'll seek a solution. If we do not see that there is a problem, what impetus would there be to seek a solution? This illustration is really quite excellent because it's easy to understand and it's so applicable to our lives in that we can think of many similar examples. So for example, if someone's ill and has no idea what's wrong, they're just guessing. But if they receive a diagnosis and they, for example, recognize they have diabetes, well, that information on its own is perhaps useful, but when that information is added to, and they're told you should not eat anything with sugar in it, with added sugar in it, or other certain kinds of foods, because I have a lot of foods that turn into sugar in the body, then, with armed with that knowledge, the person will be able to cut back on how much sugar they take. But if they then think, the patient now, the person with diabetes thinks very, very deeply about or very clearly about the results that will follow from them following a strict diet as opposed to one that has many exceptions to it. If they think well about that, they will easily abandon eating, easily abandon any kinds of foods that will cause them harm. So knowledge is required, but that knowledge needs to be thought about to the depths. To the extent that a change in one's behavior follows, and not just with willpower, but follows with ease. Another solution would be if you get a job, maybe you're young, you get your first job, and it's quite far, and you're young, you don't have so much money, and to get to your job, you have to take a bus, and then perhaps another bus, and then you have to walk a long distance, and then you get to your work. You need the job, it's your first job, and you'll do that, but you'll look for a solution. You'll look for a cheap car, and then you'll recognize, yes, there are cars that I can afford, and you'll save. You'll do without certain things so that you can save and buy a car because you have a problem, you've identified a solution, and a way to implement that solution. So there are some steps in these illustrations that we should recognize. The first, a problem needs to be recognized. One needs to know that there is a problem. That will lead to seeking a solution. And that itself will lead to striving to implement the solution. But for the second and third step to come about, the first has to be accomplished properly, which means one has to see that there's a problem. And see, not in the sense of just understanding, but that one, it leads to the second step of seeking a solution. And that first step also leads to the third step of striving to implement the solution. So this first step of vividly recognizing that there is a problem leads to seeking a solution and implementing that solution. Further illustration that is all too common is that someone may say to someone, "Say, I think you drink too much. I think you rely on alcohol too much, and it's causing a problem in your life." And the person is likely to be defensive and say, "No, everything is fine. It's all under control. I do not have a problem. I can stop any time." And they continue drinking like they have been perhaps for some years. No, but because they fail to recognize that there's a problem, they do not change their behavior. Or maybe after a while they recognize, yes, it would be better if I didn't drink as much as I do. But that is a mere recognition. And they are unable to find what it would be expressed as the willpower to stop. But the reality is, this initial recognizing that there is a problem has not yet been done deeply
enough.
In relation to both the Dharma and any topic in society, the more knowledge one has, the greater the basis one has for making good decisions. If one doesn't know anything at all, it will just be a bit of good luck if one makes the right decision. If one knows a bit, then there's some basis to make a good decision, but not much. The more one is an expert in an area, the greater the basis for making right decisions. So here one needs to come to recognize where areas where one has problems, and then gather knowledge about that. And not just gather sufficient knowledge to gain a slight understanding, but one needs to come to become really knowledgeable in it. In particular, having to be able to look at it from many angles and thereby further recognize the areas where one still needs to know more. And so this is, we can look at the areas in our world where there has been radical transformation over the last decades. So this has come about in dependence on the compounding knowledge, knowledge from various fields being brought together, and quite radical transformation having come about. So too, for the inner transformation that has been needing to be done for many lifetimes, this requires deep knowledge, not just superficial knowledge, but deep knowledge, so that one comes to recognize one's situation and recognize it at a deep enough level that one easily turns away from what causes harm. So reading further, likewise, developing the wish to attain the liberation, that is the thorough pacification of the suffering of the appropriated aggregates, also depends on seeing the faults of the appropriated aggregates that have the nature of suffering. So this now brings it from general examples in our world right back to the topic at hand, which is to come to recognize the sufferings of samsara on a deep and personal level. One needs to start with looking at one's own situation first, not to be drawn to looking around oneself or looking at others, either the external world or other people, but look at one's own self, looking at one's own aggregates, physical and mental aggregates, and coming to understand them well through what the causes are for one's what the causes are, what one's current situation is, or the nature, the essence of one's situation, and so forth. Because it's only in this way, by recognizing that the appropriated aggregates are faulty, that one will give rise to a wish to for something better, to be liberated from the situation. So in terms of just taking the body as the physical aggregate, so what is the cause of the body? What is the nature of the body? So one looks the causes. So on the coarser level, it's a fertilized egg. That is the cause of the body. And what is the nature of the body? And that is, it is subject to suffering. It is naturally subject to suffering. And this we need to recognize deeply, recognize how it's continuously changing. And in this process of changing, it's interacting with various other conditions and thereby can so easily fall ill and so forth. The body can so easily fall ill, pain can so easily arise. And this is this beginning process to come to eventually give rise to a mind seeking liberation. In this process of self-analysis, looking at the physical and mental aggregates, it should not lead to any feelings of negativity or unhappiness, no deprecating of oneself. Rather, one should be guided by a sense of curiosity rather than any kind of self-hatred, for example. One should recognize that as one is coming to gain greater clarity on one's actual situation, this is an empowering condition. The knowledge, the self-knowledge that we are gaining is empowering. Because whilst we are looking at faults of the of samsara in relation to our own current situation, so we are looking at negatives, we are doing so with held by our broader knowledge of the Dharma, of the possibility of liberation. It's not that we've never heard about true paths and true cessations. We recognize that in order to give rise to this determination to achieve them, we have to investigate well true sufferings. So therefore, this meditation that leads to eventually definite emergence arising, or most commonly translated as renunciation, this meditation that leads towards definite emergence is an empowering meditation, because we're coming to lift the various layers of veils of darkness, of lack of knowledge. So this is empowering. And the mind of definite emergence itself is a very positive mind, because definite emergence is a determination to turn away from the causes of suffering. There is nothing negative about that. It's a positive, empowered mind. If one wants to use this word renunciation, what one is renouncing is the causes of suffering. One renounces the further accumulation of the causes of suffering. It is a positive mind, an empowered mind.
Gangasia yine zavgine yana mevare. Şeyse dene yana tarba, tarba, tarba toyordu, topna, dene ki tarba kumbu lüydili, dükdi mayin ba, leda nyomu be, şanvada magyo ba, gava da, monlamda, gava başile dene çuba, çakora. Şeyse dene ki tarba se topudu, sebe tarba se de da, zire, tarbi ki top dike gansayı lüydi, dadi tiri. Dadi anasuk lüydi, nyomu ba, mabang ba yinza, nyomu ba, mabang bi lüy yinza, nasi dağın yöre. Dan nyomu ba, bang çavayna, Dene lüydele, bana çayvayı gansa ki lüydele, dene ki mancı nasin gana yon yonma. Cede dene yonza da tarpa se topu odu se besam giye de gümse diri var.
So it's important in this meditation to understand how to do it well, how to, the correct way of doing it, so as not to reinforce harmful ways of thinking. If that is happening, if one's mind is becoming dispirited, down, negative, then one is doing the meditation wrong and should seek out further guidance, listening to the teachings again on how to do the meditation. Because one should have a positive attitude, an attitude of curiosity, an attitude of wanting to understand, why am I in this situation? Moreover, this will be held in the broader context of understanding what the outcome of this meditation is, which is given, is to give rise to the mind striving for liberation. So it's just like if you know that doing something is harmful, or eating something for you is harmful, if you know that, you're completely certain, you will not do it, and you'll easily not do it, and you will not feel that you're being deprived or that you, it's unfortunate because you can't do this or can't eat that. You'll recognize, this is my situation. If I do that, I will suffer. And then easily, you do not want to engage in it. With this meditation then, we come to recognize that this body is deeply flawed. It's not a state of abiding in peace. It's a state, it's a body that is naturally subject to suffering. And why? Because it came under, or was acquired, or appropriated under the power of the afflictions. Therefore, this is why we have this body that's subject to suffering. But it does not have to be like this. If this body was not acquired under the control of the afflictions, it would no longer be subject to suffering. Therefore, gaining liberation from this position means I will not have to suffer again. I do not have to suffer like this. I can gain freedom or liberation from my current predicament.
Dine, sibi ki nyemi gomne, ndela ndorde yolo maje na, dunga de, ani jiwa la topde mishung des.
Lama Tsongkhapa continues. Therefore, if you meditate on the faults of psychic existence, but do not produce the intention to reject them, the wish to attain the pacification of suffering will not arise either. Therefore, if you meditate on the faults of cyclic existence. So here, cyclic existence, we can understand as being ignorance, attachment, and anger. So the three root poisons. So this is what we need to meditate on. And meditate here refers to analytical meditation, where one looks at the afflictions, looking at what their function is, what their role is, recognizing maybe firstly the results that come from the affliction, so we see their negative role, and we look at then what leads to the arisal of the afflictions. So coming to understand this well, should lead to a wish to abandon the afflictions, to no longer have a mind that is afflicted, but to have a mind that is unafflicted, free of these afflictions. This then is the process. By gathering knowledge, engaging in analytical meditation, seeing the faults of the afflictions, the wish to abandon them will arise. If one does not really recognize the faults of the afflictions, one can't hope to give them up, because one will not see them as harmful.
So again, this approach is something that we take in our normal lives in society. That, for example, if one has a business idea, think, oh, if I were to engage in this form of business, I think it would be quite successful. So one has an idea of what one wants to do. Then one engages in quite some research and analysis as to how one can bring about that goal. So if you see a gap in the market for selling something, you then identify the possibility, then you do research into where you can buy what you're looking for and at the right price and so forth. So there is this requirement for knowledge, and based on that knowledge, action will follow. So likewise, or similarly, if you want to work in a particular field you find really interesting, so you think, what training do I need to get so that I can work there? So you have your idea, and then you do research to work out how you can achieve your goal. When it comes to the Dharma, we go to our most fundamental of goals, which is wanting to abide in lasting, stable happiness, free of any kind of problem or difficulty. Recognizing that within ourselves, we will naturally then seek out the means by which one can eradicate suffering and the means by which one can gain happiness. And developing the rejection of the causes of suffering and a deep embrace of the causes for happiness, we will easily engage in the methods that lead to abandoning the causes for suffering and embracing the causes that lead to happiness. If one has an idea for business, but one does not investigate well, or perhaps it's an area that one really is unfamiliar with, you may have skill and success in another area, but you're trying a new venture, being overconfident based on prior success, now in a new area, without doing sufficient analysis, investigation, it's not so likely to go well. Or in a Dharma context, if one hears teachings on the need for generosity and the great benefit to make offerings to one's teacher, and one feels inspired and makes for what is for oneself a substantial offering, one may afterwards regret what one has done because one has responded under the influence of emotion without then having taken some time to think clearly before going ahead with it or not. And then in the end, there's the danger that one rejects the teaching, thinking the teaching is at fault or the teacher was trying to take advantage of me. But the real problem is not in that teaching, but rather that one responded without having thought sufficiently beforehand. So this is then ties into what we looked at this morning, the need to engage in extensive hearing and whilst doing so reflection and later meditation. This is imperative. One needs to gather knowledge and reflect deeply on that knowledge. Then one will make better decisions.
So Antideva gives the famous illustration of if in one's environment, the ground is very rough and coarse, perhaps there's a lot of pebbles and thorns, then one will walk with difficulty. So one will, recognizing the problem, seek a solution. A possible solution is to cover the entire environment in thick cloth, and then one can walk comfortably. But that may be
is not the best solution. And if one thinks just a little further, one recognizes, actually, if I leave the outer world alone and I just put shoes on, in this way, it will be fine. I can walk and not experience any pain. So taking that then to our own daily lived experience, we often, all too often, meet people that the interaction with isn't so nice, or we hear on the television and we don't really like what we're hearing, or we encounter a particular situation that upsets us. And all too easily, we point to the faults in that this person and the situation, wanting someone else to change their personality, wanting situations to be managed differently. But the truth of the situation is this world is full of many billions of people, with a wide number of situations and events one will encounter. There's no way they can all, at all times, be in accordance with your own ever-changing moods. So rather, by just taking care of your own mind, then wherever you go, whatever you do, your mind will be at peace, will be relaxed, you will be happy and content. And you can be amongst people who themselves are deeply disturbed, or you can be in a challenging situation, but because you are taking care of your mind, you are not disturbed by other people's ways of thinking or that being expressed in a particular environment either, all because you have looked within and have trained your mind well.
Lunga used to shall never chicken me, some tangles, me shock to chicken me, slun chicken me, kumaku me, and chick loim chicken me, some ditching me, some the tamjadi, diane yando duchin, sungores, dikawares, dinisumba, sune, and the rangi, and the divasagmares, kiawachimale, next week, mama, and a ganga cherry, umaresage, to sungor. Jesa that in the Haji Shengi never a chair do. Then I do that, Jimmy, some business. Mission that you never chin a carcigarette, pa, and a cut to jaw or set your war. Dela ya, she did several combo, is Dela. And she said, Mission that you so never given, pa, corner like your marriage, corner on jig, you could pa, swigging, call negative, said dinner some time your marriage. To several com is some hilarity, pa, nibby some of my jevaches, some hilarity, the nibby some of my jevaches. Then we need to tumble tone, and you call on Madagana, you call it a cup of jet, tapsi dijoris. So, what is the same thing? じゃあ、先に考えてとや、先に敵と敵と敵を合わせて、でね、じゃあ、先に辺別さんら、先別さんらで戦国で、そしてで、実さんらで人間の地割れ。先に強いさん、さんち、強い地名、先別さんらだ。あの、どうし先に弱地名、先別さんらだ。先に辺別という先に戦場地に、で、じゃあ、実さん、実さんの地が、やね、やで、やりけたんごれ、せ、とすんろ。じゃあ、だ、てらが、ディリンが、ディリングロプセンでしゅで、先だ。 마산데 타미노 셈비 타르바 토부 셈비 데네게 삼당고레 제자데 삼다데 뇨모바 타야르 뇨모바나 간에 스방고레시데 다데 야지 뇨모바다 삼르 데니 땅고 뇨모바세 뒤샤카데 방고레 콘로 간에 스방고레세 수시교라 콘로 마케바 삼르 간에 땅고레세다 딘 뒤샤키 마케 삼르 간에 땅고레세 디 타블럼디기 마송고레 제제 제자디 냠낸 제고레 디지 취세데 데네 송고르바다
所以通过了吧现在我就没有理解的了那个人家也要接触一下就是第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了吧现在第一个就通过了
那個那那接了的打算先嘛都沒搞著沒去接的,甚至沒去接要嘛了,這在你給開吧,我們就米利亞,三當也給,如果接不起來,原本的,那麼就必須當接,解釋的開吧跑吧幾多了吧,就在準住了的那些圖沒多啊,就在你也當米的那個所需的,那麼就必須當的,三的必須當他的,你給的,你給出去啊,當剛才說的,誰不如去,你說去的效果了是吧?
This advice from Shantideva about looking within, taking care of our own mind, it comes down to taking care of our own way of thinking. Because it's through our way of thinking that we experience the world in a particular way, like this or like that. So amongst the various classes of beings, we've heard about those in the hells, those in the spirit realms, the God realms, but these are all unseen beings. But we all know about animals, at least animals we can directly perceive. So when you look at animals, amongst their various aspects, one of their defining aspects is their very limited intellectual capacity. And this is a key difference between animals and humans. Animals, just like ourselves, want to be free of problems and suffering and abide in happiness. But their methods for achieving this are very limited because their intelligence is so limited. Whereas human beings, we just need to look at the world around us, all that we have come up with to try and make our external world better. But what we can do inside is even greater in terms of radically transforming our mind. This is the great benefits of a human rebirth. And Buddha Shakyamuni emphasized in his teachings, we need to take care of our mind. This is the very essence of the Dharma, is leading us to transform our way of thinking, to radically transform our way of thinking. So this we can put in two general areas. There's the one which comes down to the commitment, I will not harm any being in any way. I'll do my very best to cause no harm. And in this expression of I will do my very best to cause no harm, this is directed towards oneself as well as others. This recognition comes about independence on what we've looked at in the previous chapters, recognizing that if I kill, if I steal, if I engage in sexual misconduct, if I lie, and so forth, I harm others and I harm myself. I will not do this anymore. I will do my very best to restrain myself within the bounds of what is ethical. So this is the training of ethics, of ethical restraint. And thinking in this way again and again strengthens our virtuous ways of thinking. Even if one is thinking about things that one generally doesn't do, it's by thinking about them again and again you make those imprints very strong within yourself. And this will help tremendously with what we now currently find quite challenging, which is in particular in our relationships with others. When others are acting towards us in ways which are unkind, when they perhaps are being aggressive towards us or abusive towards us, if one is trained well in this mind of ethics, one will be taking care of our mental response to them, or at the very least, our verbal and physical response to them. Because this commitment not to cause harm will include, therefore, not getting angry in response to someone acting in an unskillful manner towards us, and not even criticizing them, talking badly about them later. One will rather want to refrain from any such response and thereby be patient. This mind of patience is a mind that is undisturbed in the face of adversity. So it's not just merely refraining from responding, but your mind remains relaxed. No matter what someone is saying to you or doing towards you, your mind is relaxed. This comes about independent on a number of factors, one of which is understanding your own mind well. You therefore know this person is just out of control. Their afflictions are dominating them. Therefore, whilst they may be abusing me, saying abusive things towards me, it's not actually about me. They are expressing their own afflictions. So in this way, by understanding your own mind, you understand their mind so much better. And the further part of the training, I mentioned earlier that there was the training of the mind can be put into two buckets. One is that of ethics. The second, then, is that of wanting to be of benefit to others. And this is also very broad. It's minds such as generosity, love, and compassion, many within there. So the ethical restraint is the determination not to cause any harm. And now we also develop a wish to be of benefit. So this it can be expressed as generosity. It can also be expressed through developing love and compassion, as holding others as dear, as valuing others, as seeing others as important, as mattering to you, whether you know them or not, whether they are having a bad day or not, whether they are taking their bad day out on you again or not. Recognizing everyone has value and holding them dear to you. Then in the practice of patience, this way of thinking also will arise. And this person who's upset, you will feel for them. You have compassion for them, knowing that their mind is suffering right now. And they are just merely blurting out their suffering at you. So not only does your mind, when the practice of patience, stay calm and still, but your heart opens to this person. You want them to be happy in this moment of intense suffering that they are experiencing. So here, when you are practicing in this way, you have developed the determination not to harm, the determination to be of benefit well. What you will experience inside is not being particularly afflicted. And that is what today's class has been about. The need to recognize the fault of the afflictions and to abandon them, because this is the very meaning of freedom or liberation. It's liberation from the afflictions. And when, even in these early stages of training, where liberation is still, the actual attainment of liberation is still some way off, through gaining skill in the dealing of one's mind, one is no longer tormented by the afflictions. One is gaining skill in dealing with them. And this comes down to the very heart of the Dharma, the abandonment of the afflictions.
Then 마즈 류기 네타로지 진내갑 내갑 고 주어드메데 유다하고체 류용오 오마디 네타다 하 먹어베 따로 제거래 진짜 되는 게 아주 류용오 오마디 네타 따따지 야고 심지 하고베는 강한 체베네 샘체 제가 자유하여 말해 아니 배시 오지 오시나 쇼지 강한 진의 배지 밀야 몸야다 나게게데 대응고 말해 장용용고래 제가 되는다 제시 쇼할 챔비기 가르송을 했으네 갈리 주수 예나니 델라 동화 지시샤스 갈리 주수 메나니 델라 미가 지시샤스 미가부 마가 제와 말 근데 강한 체네 디주에게 탑럼 유에나 디강세 탑로 연대 샘제 제거요 말했어 땅앞에 다고보도 가나 제거서 샘제 휴제디 제거요 말했어 그래서 그 탑람 진나저로시네 그래서 강아지나 그 탑람을 맨지 다요 하고는 디 샘제 제거요 뭐 맨지지 어떤 건 맨지지야 다로 그래서 이게 슬슬 시작이 됐어 진짜 맨지지네 다로 그 강아세 강아지 요배네 강아세게 탑람 주여배네 소소 하고는 유해바자 하고배네 유해바네 다 고여도 니네 Same Ganga Shivan, other Ganga Jonsa in a tablum deer, this air tablum deer, deer, some said to go some big day, some really good edge. That in a Ganga say, Guinea made a gina, Guinea tablum mevers, how one, then a Mahogany Gaia Marcy, that's called Toshi Omar de Gaia Marcy, did she same day, Jehovah Marcy, that in is up, the Niki needs a Hogona, Ganga say, Tablum Yerbina, the Hogoyong would do. 강아 디와디 심지셔고요 말스 강아 심지시 마지와 지고요 말스 됐어요 이게 근데 탑라 메딩이 지내네 탑시 걸어 메와자 탑시 메나 심지제나 가려카로래 지도 탑시 삼한테 먹어와 지고요 말스 제가 언도스는 숨고래 제가 디네서 무인에서 하고 어디세에 탑라 어디디여 디제그래 메디신 세와 디진의 야게 땅에 있으면 섬 땅에도 그 강아시 연구요 말고 다 유네 대변에서 유네 탑라 메버진 어디디 Simtisha, Mako Tushiko, Yoma, the Sasa, the Saji, and Zuwa, the Nisha, and the Kosimtisha Goma, Jesa, Jesu, Shiwala Chimbegi, Galde, Jusu, Yenani, Dela Tumachisha, Kotushita, Yoban, Simtisha, Yomaris, Galde, Jusu Men, Dela Migachisha, Dela Magawachi, or that Tushikini Menata, so you're not Guinea Menata, Kashi or Simi Tushia Yomaris, or Jesu, the Chigo Maris.
More we come to understand our actual situation, the deeper our knowledge, the more realistic we are about our actual situation, the more peace of mind we'll have. So again, just staying with the body. When we've come to recognize that this body has come about independence on contaminated karma and afflictions, therefore, it is naturally subject to suffering. When physical suffering arises, there is not this strong pushback that we'd otherwise feel. This, why is this happening to me? Why is it only me who keeps getting sick? No one else is getting sick as often as I am, or yet again, there's another big illness I have. All of that kind of exaggeration that our mind imputes, we'll let go of. There'll be an understanding from the causes accumulated, this result has followed. No surprise there. So this needs to be understood well, that there's an acceptance of the situation, but that doesn't lead to a state of helplessness. Rather, by accepting the situation, one's mind is more spacious, more relaxed, and thereby one can seek out solutions, because one isn't being worried, overly concerned, exaggerating what is going on. And likewise, if we hear unkind comments about ourselves or even complimentary comments, we won't take it too seriously. We'll be much more relaxed about what is going on with our body, recognizing that this is just how it is because the causes are accumulated, such a result is going to come. So without having this exaggeration, excessive worry, pride, and so forth are not going to arise. We will be able to relate to ourselves in a far more realistic manner. There's the famous expression from Shantideva, or verses from Shantideva, where he expressed that if you have a problem and there's something you can do about it, then do that. And if it's nothing you can do about it, then let it go. And there's a lot of wisdom in this. If you've understood the process of from these causes come these results, then your mind is much more accepting and relaxed about what is arising. You will not add to one's problems by thinking unskillfully, but rather look for solutions. So again, it's not about a blind acceptance, but it's about not adding to our problems and our difficulties, but rather accepting the situation and with a more spacious mind, being able to seek us whether there is a solution or not, and implementing one if there is. So by gathering knowledge and internalizing that knowledge through analytical meditation, we come to understand our situation, our actual situation, so much better. And through this knowledge, then, we are able to live our lives with much more happiness.
Uma shigeba nale ya lobin are dewe ge sungyo inse shigeba le gan la dirgyu mi ye minba dirgyu ye minba dila nguga kala yes dila shiga shigu se kala yes che sung so sa gan la dirgyu ye minba dila shigu kala yes.
Now Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from Aryadeva's 400 verses. How could one who is not disenchanted here have any respect for peace?
Donda dikan sumba de chiba de kan la dirgyo yemin ba se de ganesh ne kan la se mi kan la su le deni gi gyen che phungbu de le ya gyen thong che no chu da ji ngui ni su ka re yin ba de sim ju che che gyen yu ba xiu ne gyo se de gyen se de wo le di gi gyen yi ka re yin ba de thong che de le gyen de le ta gu du sen bi ge sam lo ju yu me na.
As always, Lama Tsongkhapa draws on various quotations to establish what he has presented. So the meaning of from the quotation is as we have above. That how could one is not disenchanted here? So someone who has not come to recognize that these physical and mental aggregates are faulty or subject to suffering, how could one who does not know this actually wish to be liberated from the situation or have any respect for peace? So if one does not know there's a problem, one will not seek a solution, and one will not seeking a solution will not strive for the solution. One first has to recognize that we are in a perilous situation, that there is a problem at hand. Then we will look for a solution, and then we will implement it. To the extent we understand the problem that we are in, the situation we are in, to that extent, we will seek a solution and strive to implement it.
Tong Delia and the Tardug Samba Chevaina Dile Shiwi Yores, Jesan Shiva Tundu Yev Samba Tiligri as a shule di Tingurwa.
One could rephrase this verse, but in the positive. Someone who is disenchanted here will yearn for peace. So someone who recognizes that being here in cyclic existence, this is a place that is naturally subject to suffering, will yearn to gain freedom from it, to abide in peace.
Sam 아주 디니게
In this section, the trainings that are shared to the practitioner of intermediate capacity, the focus is to look within. So this has already been the focus for a while in the trainings that we have been looking at, those that are shared to the practitioner of initial capacity. But here, the emphasis, what I want to emphasize is we need to look at our own aggregates, our own body, our own minds, and look at our own faults in our own way of thinking. Because the habit is to look at and criticize the faults in others. But we need to develop this internal gaze so as to come to understand our own body and mind. We need to come thereby to recognize our own actual situation. So something as intellectually obvious, but still so deeply hidden for us, is that our body and mind is in a constant state of flux, this momentary change. But this is still far from being recognized. To the extent we come to recognize this and the other understandings that are developed here, we will be able to recognize understand our situation well and start to implement solutions to our situation. And then when we're gaining some skill in implementing solutions and we are experiencing spiritual development, then we will be ready to engage in the final large section of trainings. The trainings that are unique to a practitioner of greatest capacity. Such a person who's qualified now, an actual practitioner of greatest capacity, they have come to understand their own aggregates, their mind in particular, very well. Therefore, not only the faults of their situation, but that there are solutions, and they are implementing the solutions and experiencing the benefits of that. Then they can lift their gaze from this long period of inner reflection, recognizing that all other samsaric beings around them are in the same position, dominated by their afflictions, without any freedom or any free will. Problems and suffering naturally befall them because that is the very nature of being a samsaric being. Thinking like that, then, compassion will arise for others. And the determination to strive to be of meaningful benefit to others will arise. the determination to transform oneself so that one can be of ever more benefit to others will arise in a transformative manner. But for those trainings, the trainings that are unique to practitioners of greatest capacity to come about, these trainings in relation to oneself have to be developed. Coming to understand one's own actual situation in great detail. This needs to be developed first.
I found a teacher. He too would have trained in this way. In order to become a Buddha, he first would have looked intensely within, coming to understand the workings of his own mind and radically transforming it. And he showed the example of attaining perfection and then teaching. And the lesson to take from this is one has to know oneself first in order to be able to be of meaningful transformative impact on the lives of others.
In a society, we follow the same approach. If you want to learn to dance, you'll go to a teacher of dance, and you'll expect that they will be able to dance well. And likewise, if you are playing in a sport and you have a coach, you wouldn't want a coach who has no idea how to play the game. You'd want someone who's skilled in the sport. So the approach we take in society is the same here. You need to develop these skills oneself.
Staying with the sporting illustration, the greater the skill and experience of a coach, the better coach they are likely to be. If their skill is very limited, their experience in the sport is very limited, and their communication skills are very limited, they're not likely to be much of a coach. But if they have extensive skill, experience, and great communication skills, they are likely to be an excellent coach. And so too, in order to be of benefit to others,
this will be directly proportionate to the degree to which we understand our own minds, and this would include the extent we have changed our own minds, so come to experience the results of developing good qualities. And if we understand ourselves a bit, we'll be of some benefit to others. But if we have come to understand ourselves well and changed our minds quite some, we will be of far greater benefit to others. And if we really have not looked much inside, we may have some knowledge, but we haven't really looked inside, the way we lead others is going to be quite limited, and it's possible ineffective. And if one really knows very little and puts oneself up to teach and to guide, one may well end up deceiving others and leading them down the garden path. So therefore, it's imperative that we come to understand our own minds, both in terms of recognizing where we are and in terms of developing good qualities, dealing with our afflictions and so forth.
His Holiness often talks about that the cause for all the problems that we experience and observe in the world, whether it's a conflict between conflict within families or between communities or nations, whether it's deceit and taking advantage of others, or selfishness or environmental destruction, it all comes from our way of thinking. That to the extent that an individual and a collection of individuals, a society, are dominated by self-interest and are dominated by a lack of valuing others, to that extent, there'll be conflict, deceit, selfishness, environmental destruction, and so forth. Therefore, by transforming our way of thinking, we can transform the impact on others. And His Holiness is a living example of this, in that through his own experience of love and compassion, he can, from a place of authenticity, encourage others to cultivate love and compassion and guide others in the cultivation of love and compassion. That he can do this is because he himself over lifetimes has trained in this. And therefore, through his own transformed qualities, his own transformed mind, can lead others in an authentic manner. Then we can conclude, therefore, this weekend. But if you have some questions, there's time, so please feel free to ask. Peter?
So when we're in the previous module, when we were looking at karma, for once you accumulate virtue and non-virtue, there are these the four components of the karmic act: the object, which you had in the ant, the motivation, then the performance of the deed, and the completion. So when it was brought to completion or culmination. So in your specific instance, the motivation to harm was completely absent. You had no wish to harm the ant. And so then, if we ask a little further, but hang on, you could have maybe benefited the ant properly by bringing it back. And for whatever the circumstances are, you didn't bring it back. But that, if you had brought it back and put it with its at its nest, wherever it may have been, then that would have been a beneficial thing to do. But by not doing it, you didn't intentionally harm it. So therefore, you didn't accumulate non-virtue. Yeah? So if there is a violent situation, perhaps there's warfare, and you sit out of it. You think, no, this is not something I'm getting involved with. So there are people fighting or getting listed warfare. So there's a battle going on, but you decide, this isn't for me. I'm not getting involved with that. You are not accumulating non-virtue. If you are able to get involved and solve the problem, then excellent. But by not getting involved, you're not accumulating non-virtue. So that's similar here. Thank you.
You said that if we are fully reflecting an awesome, and we realize our body and mind are in constant flux, and moment to moment change, that we also said we must take responsibility and improve qualities and become ready to benefit others. My question is, how do we take responsibility for a body and mind that are impermanent and not fully mind? What is the ownership in Dharma practice for reinforcing the self?
So there are a number of interacting things in your question, so hopefully this will answer it. So whilst we are under the control of our karma and afflictions, and therefore we lack free will, the direction of travel that we are each on is not predetermined. We are not it's not predetermined in that by the development of particular causes, our direction of travel is altered. So by developing helpful causes, wholesome causes, our direction of travel of our body and mind is in a more wholesome direction. So by hearing teachings, and in particular reflecting on them repeatedly, so this emphasis here is on repetition. In this way, you are strengthening causes on the wholesome side. And then our flow is in a more wholesome direction than it would have otherwise been. So by hearing teachings and then thinking about them and then hearing more and thinking about them more, this side of the equation grows much stronger.
and then the flow of our life, express it like that, goes in a particular direction. And in this way, it becomes ever easier to refrain from what will cause harm and to engage in what will be of benefit. So the more one becomes familiar with this thought, the thoughts of, I will not harm for these various reasons, I will help in accordance with my capacity because of these various reasons, it becomes ever easier to do so. And there we see the impermanent, because we are impermanent, there is this change in direction because of accumulating causes, a predominance of causes on the wholesome side. In this way, then our responsibility to be of benefit, to not cause harm, starts to be enacted. Does that answer? Okay. Okay. But it is quite a subtle point to communicate clearly. Well, anyway, I find it a bit challenging. So I hope that answered.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.